traces of singular moduli and moonshine for the Thompson group. So I will tell you what singular moduli are and what it means to take their trace. I will talk about a connection between those objects and weakly holomorphic way to half forms. Then present a bunch of evidence that there is a kind of moonshine, which I think is a new kind of moonshine, but we'll discuss this, for a sporadic group called the Thompson group. And the evidence for that will involve things that you're all familiar with, or at least the first two I'm sure you're quite familiar with. That is conjectured structure of an infinite dimensional module for the Thompson group, Mackay-Thompson series and their modularity, and then a connection between a property called the discriminant property, which was also there in umbral moonshine, and these singular moduli. And then I'll say a few words at the end. All right, so I don't have to tell you what the J function is. I don't have to tell you that 196884 is 196883 plus 1. But I do want to explain what a singular modulus is. So let D be a positive integer equal to 0 or 3 mod 4, and consider a quadratic form, binary quadratic form over the integers. And let Q sub D be the space of such forms with discriminant B squared minus 4AC is equal to minus D. Let's see, is there a pointer?
And there's like a stick right there.
Ah, so now I can speak softly. right, so D is congruent to minus a square mod 4, and a square mod 4 is congruent to 0 or 1. So indeed, this discriminant satisfies the condition that D is positive and equal to 0 or 3 mod 4, as long as is negative. And the modular group that we're familiar with, SL2Z, acts on binary quadratic forms in kind of the obvious way, where Q acted on by gamma is what you get by replacing X and Y by PX plus QY, RX plus SY with PQRS, an element of SL2Z. And this action preserves the discriminant. And so you can define a notion of equivalence of binary quadratic forms if they're equivalent under the action of SL2Z. And with D positive, each binary quadratic form gives rise to a quadratic equation. And that quadratic equation has one root in the upper half plane. And you can take the J function and evaluate it at that value. Now, elliptic curves with values of tau of this form have all sorts of special properties. They have complex multiplication. They arise as fixed points in certain attractor flows, as Greg showed in his arithmetic and attractors paper. And those things are all interesting and maybe relevant, but are not things that I'm going to get into in this talk. So you can show that J, so that's what a singular modulus is. It's the value of J, or the Haupt module for some other genus zero field, evaluated at the root of a quadratic equation. And that value depends only on the equivalence class of Q under the action of SL2Z. The number of inequivalent quadratic forms is the class number. And the trace is just taking the value of the J function at one of these values and summing it over the values of alpha Q for all quadratic forms that are inequivalent under the action of SL2Z, with a small correction, which is that you should weight that sum by the order of the stabilizer of the quadratic form in SL2Z. So just like in the fundamental domain for the for SL2Z, you have points rho and I that have stabilizers of order 3 and of order 2. Quadratic forms can have stabilizers of order 3 and order 2, and you divide by that. It's kind of, but I'll treat SL2Z as the gauge group of the theory if you want. And it turns out to be a twisted version of these traces that will also show up. The particular twisted version that will enter into the calculations that I'm doing involves, again, a sum over J values weighted by a object called the genus character, which takes values plus or minus 1. There's a fancy definition of this, which I'm not sure I could recall if anybody wants to know, but I think roughly speaking, you have quadratic forms that are inequivalent. You would like a more refined way of telling whether two quadratic forms are inequivalent. And this genus character tells you something about what values you can represent with the quadratic form. It's also the character of a group, which arises in algebraic number theory. So here are two examples. An untwisted example from that previous slide at discriminant 3 involves the J function and gives you minus 248. And an example of this twisted form at D equals 5, the class number is 2. There are two inequivalent quadratic forms. Remember, this quadratic form means x squared plus xy plus 4y squared. So both of these have discriminant 15. These are the two roots. And if you compute this coefficient, you get minus 85995. Not in this talk, but I don't promise that I won't do that in some later work, but not here. So in a famous paper, which actually was involved in proving formulas for Borchardt's lifts, Don Zagier showed that the coefficients of weight, certain weight a half and weight 3/2 weakly holomorphic modular forms were given by these traces of singular moduli. And he actually gave families of weight a half and weight 3/2 weakly holomorphic modular forms whose coefficients obeyed a certain duality, but only one of those is going to play a role in this talk. And that's a certain form called F3, which you can find in his paper. And it transforms under gamma naught 4 like the standard theta function, just a sum over n q to the n squared. And the coefficients of q to the n for n a square can be computed in terms of t of 3. And the other coefficients when n is not a square can be computed in terms of those twisted generalizations that I gave you. And here are the first few terms in the q expansion of this guy. So it's weakly holomorphic, meaning it's allowed to have a singular term at the cusp at I infinity. And it's weight a half and has a multiplier system, which is the same as that of theta of tau. Now, if you're a string theorist, you say, 248 is the dimension of E8. Maybe there's E8 in here someplace. And mathematicians. But I think actually what mathematicians would say, or at least finite group theorists would say, is that 248, 85995, and 1707264 are all dimensions of irreducible representations of the Thompson sporadic group. And furthermore, that the Thompson sporadic group is actually a subgroup of a Chevalier group related to E8. So this fact has just been sitting there. And actually, my interest in this was generated by a question that was asked on Math Overflow, pointing out some of these connections. So it just goes to show you that sometimes wasting time on the internet is not a complete waste of time, if you spend it on highbrow sites like Math Overflow. I'm not sure that cat videos count. All right, so that's an interesting number. It's not the dimension of an irreducible representation of the Thompson sporadic group. You must know that because you asked the question. But it is equal to 27,000 minus 248. And 27,000 is the dimension of an irreducible representation of the Thompson group. So there's something off by 248. So I'll get to that in just a minute. So the Thompson group is a big group. It has something like 10 to the 17 elements, 48 conjugacy classes. It's a lot bigger than any of the groups in Umbral Moonshine, a lot smaller than the monster. And it naturally lives inside the monster and it's a stabilizer of a certain order 3 conjugacy class of the monster. Two comments. So first of all, that 248 that we would like to fix things by can be dealt with by simply considering a slightly different function where we take this F3 multiplied by 2 and add 248 theta of tau. This doesn't change the modular properties because this guy transforms the same way state of tau. And as I'll show you in a minute, it leads to moonshine where you never need any virtual representations, which is why we added it in. And that's connected with the fact that that coefficient 26752 was not a irreducible representation of the Thompson group. The other comment I would like to make, which is really for experts, but I think is an important point, is that there is a connection between this object F3 and the 3C Mackay-Thompson series of the monster. That series exhibits moonshine for the Thompson group for the obvious reason that the Thompson group is part of the centralizer of the 3C element. And you can get that 3C element by a Borchard's lift of this function, but the Borchard's lift involves only the coefficients of square powers of Q. So it involves this coefficient, it involves this coefficient, but it doesn't involve the 8, 5, 9, 9, 5, et cetera. So, and I'll say a little bit more about this later, but it doesn't seem that the Thompson moonshine that I'm going to be talking about is directly related to the Thompson moonshine that you can trivially get from the monster. It seems to be a different beast with different modules. All right, so this is the object that we will consider. And the main claim is that this weight a half weakly holomorphic form exhibits moonshine for the monster, for the Thompson group. And it actually shares many features with umbral moonshine, but it's also different in some ways. So it's modular rather than Bach modular. The Thompson group is much larger than any of the umbral groups. The evidence that I'll present that there's this new kind of moonshine involves standard things, decompositions at low levels into irreps, conjectural structure of modules, the modularity of the twisted Mackay-Thompson series or twine series, Rademacher series, construction of the coefficients, and a discriminant property, which is related to these singular moduli. And I think many of these things are fairly standard, but the discriminant property of umbral moonshine is something that I think has not been emphasized or appreciated completely, and so I'll spend some time on that, because it's one of the striking things about this moonshine that somehow connects it to umbral moonshine. All right, so here are the sort of obvious decompositions, either into real representations or into representations and their complex conjugate partners for the first, the coefficients up to Q to the 13th. So there's twice the identity representation, which is kind of reminiscent of M24 Matthew or umbral moonshine, where that always occurs. There's a single real representation here. Then there are pairs of representations that are complex conjugates. I think this is probably not very standard notation where we just sort of list or order the representations from 1 to 48 and then put a little label, which is their dimension, which is useful sometimes. Well, I put minus signs over here. So with this sign, it's actually plus 2. Okay. And yeah. I'll talk about the signs in just a second. So there are these signs, and the alternating signs can be dealt with in the following way. I mean, whether this is the best way, I don't know, but it is a way of dealing with it. So we conjecture that there's an infinite dimensional module graded by integers, which are congruent to 0, 1, mod 4, and that each one of these WMs is a supermodule with an even and an odd part, and that the even part vanishes when m is odd, and the odd part vanishes when m is divisible by 4 or equal to minus 3. Now, you might say, well, this is really goofy, but it just means that the coefficient of the most singular term has the wrong sign and is equal to 2. That's exactly what happens in M24 moonshine or a number of moonshine. There's always that kind of annoying minus 2, and the same thing is true here. So with this supermodule structure, each of those coefficients C of m can be viewed as the supertrace of the identity in the module WM, and that suggests the obvious generalization that we replace these supertraces by traces of group elements G in the Thompson group, and we then get Mackay-Thompson versions of this weight-a-half guy labeled by the 48 conjugacy classes of the Thompson group. So experience with monstrous and humble moonshine suggests that each of these Mackay-Thompson series should be a weakly holomorphic weight-a-half modular form on a congruent subgroup gamma naught, which involves the order of G, and then usually, or sometimes, you need a multiplier system, so there's some extra integer HG, which divides twice the order of G, and I'm doing things in a way that's maybe unnecessarily complicated, in the same way that the theta function is a modular form on gamma naught 4. Twisting now gives gamma naught of 4 times the order of G. If you recast this in terms of Jacobi forms, then it would just be SL2Z or gamma naught, the order of G. But if I do this purely in terms of weight a half, then there's this slightly annoying factor of 4. Anyway, this is true in umbral moonshine, and we would expect the same thing to be true here. So we use two methods to try to construct these Mackay-Thompson series in order to see whether they are modular and coincide to the first order in the Q expansion with what we get by using the characters of the Thompson group and putting in those natural decompositions. And the two methods are, first of all, a map in a paper by Miller and Pixton, which takes a Haupt module for genus 0 gamma naught n and produces from it a weakly holomorphic weight-a-half form on gamma naught 4n. That doesn't cover all the cases we need, but there's another way, which is familiar from other treatments of moonshine, going back to Rademacher and pioneered by Miranda and John in the case of umbral moonshine, where we compute coefficients of weight-a-half Rademacher series. So in the first method, there's a formula which is an analog of the traces of singular moduli that I wrote down before, but where the function f that occurs here is not the J function, but rather one of these Haupt modules for one of the genus 0 gamma naught of n. And there are particular, I mean, the notation is a little peculiar. It comes from this paper by Miller and Pixton, and the 3 is because we're looking at this thing F3. There are generalizations of this, but this is the particular case that we're interested in. The other thing here, of course, is that instead of summing over equivalence classes of quadratic forms under the action of SL2Z, we now have the action of gamma naught n. And so it's a slightly more complicated thing to figure out the equivalence classes of quadratic forms, but you can do it in a fairly straightforward way. But these are named by the monster. It's the same way we named it in our paper, even though the monster is not playing a direct role here. These are just the conjugacy classes that give rise to these Haupt modules. So AM is the Fourier coefficient of the weight-a-half form, which is the image of the Haupt module under this map. So this Z prime guy, Z prime takes a Haupt module and it produces a weakly holomorphic weight-a-half form, and AM of Z prime is the Fourier coefficient of that weight-a-half guy. And I think everything else, yeah. I mean, I haven't explained what this is, but again, it's a particular genus character that you can find a formula for in the literature or in our paper when it comes out. So that's the first method. And the second method is to compute coefficients of a weight-a-half Rademacher series with a multiplier, which involves the standard multiplier for the theta function for weight of half forms on gamma naught 4, modified by a multiplier system which is of a form familiar from umbral moonshine. In umbral moonshine, we were able to read off what this multiplier system was from the group theory. We haven't been able to do that successfully here, but you can just sort of work out the various possibilities experimentally by computing these coefficients numerically and figuring out what works and matches the Mackay-Thompson series. So that's what we did. And the coefficients, which I've sort of changed notation from the coefficients of this weight and a half guy twisted to notation that I think I stole from a very nice review by John and Miranda, the coefficients are given by a sum over double cosets of a Clusterman sum and then a function which involves a Bessel function of weight and a half. So this is a fairly standard kind of Rademacher series, but for weight and a half where there are delicate issues of convergence, and we have not tried to deal explicitly with those issues of convergence, except numerically, where you can see that things are converging to nice integer values when you do explicit computations. And this Clusterman sum involves a specification of the multiplier system up here. Sorry? What is V? It's up to you. It's something that doesn't. Sorry? There's no canonical choice that works. You have to adjust V, look at the inequivalent V, and figure out which one works.
So V depends on G?
V depends on G, and I guess I should have given it a little V sub G label. My apologies.
And all the H's, they all divide
the order of G except when the order of G is divisible by 4, and then they divide twice the order of G. And I think that's, again, exactly what we found in umbral moonshine, except in umbral moonshine, we had a way of reading this off from the permutation representation.
Yeah, we also had dividing 24.
Yeah.
It's kind of important.
Yeah.
I think, in fact, they all do divide 24. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not is evident from the group theory to me. Okay, the other important point is that given an NG, which is the order of G, and an HG, and an integer K such that K squared divides HG NG, theta of K squared tau has the same modular properties as the twisted F3 under this gamma naught for NG HG. And so you can add such terms with coefficients, and doing this affects the square powers of Q, but doesn't change the non-square coefficients, and it preserves the modular properties. So if you think of this as kind of like solving a 48 by 48 Sudoku puzzle, you get a feeling of great satisfaction and kind of complete the puzzle or win the game when you are able to exhibit modular Mackay-Thompson series, that is, choose multipliers in these constant CK, for all 48 conjugacy classes, such that when you invert the character table and solve for the decompositions, you get all positive integer multiplicities. And so we have done this, we have solved this puzzle to order Q to the 32 in the Q expansion of this weight and a half modular form. And we'll probably check it to a few higher orders before we actually put the paper out. Okay, so that's what we did. And one of the things that I think is quite surprising and interesting is that this exhibits a discriminant property like the discriminant property of umbral moonshine. And I want to explain what that discriminant property is, because I don't think this has really been focused on a great deal.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Just going back to the Mackay-Thompson, the first method of Mackay-Thompson, is there one for every genus 0 gamma naught n? Is there actually a Thompson group element?
I think, except for 16, where it seems to fit a guy of order 8 rather than of order n, there's some doubling for one of them. But other than that, there is
every
one.
Every one of those.
Yeah. Not order 20, not the 25, but that's a ghost. But that's a ghost guy. And
obviously not.
I don't think we use the ghost. No, there is a nice connection. And so this does not, for example, this does not affect the coefficients of non-square powers of Q. And so those still have the previous formula in terms of traces of singular moduli. And we'll see that the discriminants that appear in those traces of singular moduli are related to the discriminant property, generalizing the discriminant property of Ombermundschen. All right, so let me try to explain that. All right, so let me first explain the discriminant property of Ombermundschen for the case of Matthew Moonshine. And let me try to do it first visually, because I think it might be easier to absorb. So here's the character table of M24. And you will notice that there are certain representations which come in complex conjugate pairs, the 45, the 231, the 770, 990, 1035, and that those representations involve, in their characters, coefficients which are defined over the extension of the rationals by the square root of minus 7, the square root of minus 15, and the square root of minus 23. Okay, so keep that in mind. So red is minus square root of minus 7, green is square root of minus 15, blue is square root of minus 23. Now, here is a table of the decomposition of the coefficients of that famous weight a half Mach modular form of Matthew Moonshine. This column labels the exponent of q, it's q to the n over 8, where n is minus 1, 7, 15, 23, etc. And this tells you the multiplicity of the representations labeled from 1 to 26. So the representation 3 and 4 are associated to q to the 7 over 8, and those representations are defined over q extended by the square root of minus 7. This 7 and this 7 are logically independent objects. One is telling you the power of q. The other is telling you that there's a coefficient attached to that power of q. And that coefficient corresponds to a representation defined over a field, which is an extension by the square root of minus 7. The same thing is true for 15, and the same thing is true for 23. Furthermore, this kind of repeats. These guys defined over q to the square root of 7 also show up at 63, but 63 is 3 squared times 7. And the green guys show up at 135, but 135 is 3 squared times 15. And these show up at 175, which is 5 squared times 7. So every time that you get a power of q, where this n is a square times 7, 5, or 23, you find that these representations defined over those fields appear, and they appear with odd multiplicity. The things that I've circled are the only odd integers in that table. Okay? So visually, that is the discriminant property of the M24 case of Ombermundschein. You just have to stare at that table of decompositions in the character table and notice something very bizarre is going on. So for M24, it's been proven, yeah.
Right.
I think not for the other cases. So it, yeah, in particular, it implies that when you look at the twisted, at the Mackay-Thompson series, that there are certain coefficients which are half integral rather than integral, and that property has been proven in general. So, well, I don't know if these are the propositions that are in our paper, our first paper on umbral moonshine, stating this observation mathematically. But basically, it's what you saw there. First of all, these 7, 15s, and 23s are also orders of the M24. So they state when there's an element of order n, and there's an integer co-prime to n, such that this d minus n lambda squared is a discriminant of HL, meaning that it's one of those powers over 8, and the coefficient is non-zero, then there are representations of M24 defined over these fields, that there's a list of representations associated with these integers, and that at low levels, precisely those representations occur. And then we had two conjectures, which basically say that this pattern continues on indefinitely whenever this discriminant is minus n lambda squared, and explaining or conjecturing this even or oddness of the multiplicity of the decomposition and its link to these particular values. And this actually extends to all the examples of umbral moonshine. And as Don just mentioned, this discriminant property for the Matthew moonshine example was proved in a paper by these gentlemen. All right, so I want to try to give you the same visual description. It's a little more complicated, but there's a new ingredient here. And I want you to keep in mind that the coefficient of q to the n in this way to half form that I claim has moonshine for the Thompson group can be computed in traces of singular moduli involving quadratic forms of discriminant 3n. So again, now the character table fills four slides like this because there are 48 characters, conjugacy classes, so I'm not going to show you the whole thing, but here's the first page, and here's representations defined over the square root of minus 3, and I'll show you one more page because you get more information. So these guys are defined over the square root of minus q extended by square root of minus 15, square root of minus 6, square root of minus 39, and those are all orders of the Thompson group as well. So now, here is a table that gives the decompositions into these even and odd parts of the conjectured module. And again, you see that there are odd multiplicities associated with V4 and V5 when we look at the fourth power of Q, V9 and V10 when we look at the fifth power of Q, and 3 times 5 is 15. These representations, V9 and V10, are defined over Q extended by the square root of minus 15. And those coefficients are computed as traces of singular moduli involving quadratic forms of discriminant 15. So the 15 shows up in 3 different places here. It's 3 times n. It's the discriminant of the quadratic form used to compute the coefficients using singular moduli. And it's the field extension of the rationals over which these representations are defined. The same thing holds for these guys defined over the square root of minus 6. These guys defined over the square root of minus 15, etc. And you can see the same thing repeating. Here we have 3 times 8 is 24. The square root of minus 24 is 4 times the square root of minus 6. And then when we go up to 32, 3 times 32 is 96. And I can't do the math anymore, but I think you can pull out a square and get the square root of minus 6 again. So in slightly more detail, for each m equal to, is positive and equal to 0, 1 mod 4, you can uniquely decompose minus 3m as a negative fundamental discriminant times the square of an integer. And whenever this negative fundamental discriminant that you obtain this way satisfies the condition that there's an element of the Thompson group of order of the magnitude of this, and a positive integer such that this is a discriminant of F3, meaning that the coefficient of that term is non-zero, and there's also a condition that lambda has to be relatively prime to 3, then you can predict that there are certain representations defined over these fields. And there's also an analog of the other proposition, which is precisely the representations defined over these extensions show up at low orders. Now, there were also two conjectures which appear to exist here as well, and you can see evidence for them in the fact that the odd coefficients, odd multiplicities here, are precisely the odd multiplicities, are precisely associated with these representations and coefficients defined over these various extensions of the rationals. But it seems to be slightly more subtle than an umbral moonshine. And so I'm not going to give absolutely precise statements, but it seems to be connected to the fact that the character values of these representations sometimes generate the ring of algebraic integers and sometimes they don't. And if they do, then an analogous conjecture works. And if they don't, then there's some slight subtlety. So it's almost like umbral moonshine discriminant property, but there's some slight refinements or twists to it. I don't know. I'm not sure I understand the question. So Jay, is it related to the algebraic, the extension of, by?
Is it the Hilbert class field? Or the
I'm not sure about the exact relation between the extension of the rationals by J of alpha Q and these coefficients. I'll have to think about that. All right, well, Shamit encourages, sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, that's true here because the Schur index is one for all the representations of the Thompson group. Yeah, that paper by who was it that we cited, who looked at the Schur index of various sporadic groups. The Thompson group is one of the cases that was analyzed, and the Schur index is one. So, all these you can, in other words, you can read off. Sometimes you can read off the field of definition of a representation from the character table, and sometimes you can't. And if the Schur index is one, then you can. So that works here. Okay, so let me just say a few things to end, since Shamit encouraged us to end early. So I think the evidence for moonshine for the Thompson group that I presented is basically at the same level as evidence for the various cases of umbral moonshine, meaning we have modularity of Almakai-Thompson series, we have decompositions into irreducible representations with positive integer multiplicity. It all hangs together. It has some of the same properties as umbral moonshine. There's this funny minus 2, the most singular term, and a discriminant property, which looks like a just some kind of generalization of it, which depends, you know, on the details of the group. But the group is much larger, and it's not connected to automorphism groups of Niemeyer lattices, as all the umbral groups were. There is, however, a rank 248 even self-dual lattice, which has the Thompson group, I think, with some Z2 factor as the automorphism group. But I'm not sure whether that's relevant or not. And I think one very interesting question is, how does this fit into the known moonshine structures? You know, we have monstrous moonshine and its offspring, things like the baby monster and perhaps the modular moonshine. John tells me that the Conway moonshine and its relatives that he has looked at, along with Shamit and Miranda and Sarah and she and Tim and maybe some other people for Stanford that I've forgotten. Okay, good. So these are all moonshines that appear at C equals 12, and John says they should be thought of as related to the monster, so I'll take his word for it. So we kind of have, you know, but maybe they're a distinct class. And then we have Matthew moonshine, and its extension to umbral moonshine, which involves Mach modular forms. This thing that I've presented seems to share some characteristics of each. It has a group, which naturally is associated to the monster, but it has this discriminant property in module structure, which looks like umbral moonshine. Maybe it's mumbral moonshine or umstress moonshine. I don't know what it is, but it seems to be distinct, and perhaps it's an indication. I gather we may hear about other indications that the universe of moonshine is larger than we currently think, and so it's an interesting thing to try to figure out exactly what is going on more universally. I think we all feel there's some unified theory of moonshine, but the world that we need to describe seems to be getting bigger and bigger. So I'll end there.
I think we have time for a few questions.
So in the case of umbral moonshine, as you know, from the sort of the hindsight wisdom, we know that M24 has to be just one on the case because the function is not special. We have to talk to Melody,
right.
So what sort of, do you have an idea of what the counterpart is?
No, but I think this is probably the start of some set of structures which should have more, in, you know. So the answer is no, but I wouldn't be surprised that there is something, but we don't know what it is yet.
Yeah, I mean, the Rademacher sum, the fact that Rademacher sums do the series tells you that it's optimal in some sense.
In some sense, yeah.
That can be worked out in finite time.
Yes.
Actually, how many functions are there with that model of
which space? Weakly holomorphic weight half. There's an infinite.
No, but it's
If you fix the polar term to be q to the minus 3 at worst, then it's just a linear combination of F3 and theta.
Yeah.
I mean, Zagier constructs a whole series of FD that look like q to the minus d plus order q. And so this is the first of an infinite list. But I don't know. At one point, John and I talked about the possibility that this whole grid could have some kind of moonshine. And maybe there is, but it doesn't look quite as natural as this. So who knows?
Okay, let's thank Jeff again.